So, aren't you all glad you're not going to heaven? Well, I figured get everybody's attention. It's, what do you mean? I'm going. I always look at some people and I say, and I look at them, I says, my goodness, where are you going? I says, look like you're going to death and going to the place we don't like to mention, you know, like hell. And just, oh, and all of a sudden the faces will start to smile. We know where we're going. Isn't that good? And also, when Kevin picked out that song, We Three, well, we can't say We Three Kings. The reason why we think three kings is because there was three gifts. And usually we surmise, well, if there was three gifts, it only had to be three wise men. But we don't know how much gold or how much that. It doesn't really say. So when we look at that, I think wise men bring gifts. Now, were they kings? Could have been. They called them the Magi and whatever. But I often think a wise man brings something to Christ. A fool doesn't. So this is what we're going to talk about more this morning is wise men bring gifts. Now, in Matthew chapter 2, I could read verse 9 to 11. If you want to read it in your Bible with me, you can just follow along. When they had heard the king, they departed. Now, remember, Herod did not like what was going on. And remember, these men followed a star. So it wasn't just come by chance that they were wandering around lost in the desert and they seen the star. Let's go see where it takes us. They had a specific reason why they were going where they were going. And you'll find that God puts a specific reason and He guides you by His word where you're to go in life. And I often think of this because, you know, it's very rare that as life goes on that you ever get together a whole group of people or even family. I can remember one time when we tried to get our whole family together on my mom and dad's 40th anniversary, we had one brother missing. And you always try, 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 and sometimes it's almost impossible. So we always should take a moment to always realize how precious these times are, because Christmas really pulls people to get to go somewhere or go do something. So just think on that. But anyway, Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 and 11 says, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now we know that they weren't at the manger for the simple reason. And I remember years ago when I heard this and I seen that in the Word, I thought it was really amazing. And I find it amazing today that there's a lot of preachers and ministers, all of a sudden they're telling the story, the wise men were not there. But do you know that a lot of places celebrate January 6th as Christmas? The Ukrainians do. And the Italians give gifts, not on Christmas Day, but around the 5th or 6th of January. So there is something about Christmas and its ongoing thing. It's just not the one day. Now, we know we didn't bring each other gifts today, and we know January 6th, we're not going to get a whole pile more. But I find it quite amazing that a lot of things that traditions of places and what they do, reflecting to Christ and the story, and some of them, how they different they do in the exchange of gifts or when they celebrate it. And some places they don't, but we find mostly in the Christian world they do. Now, I think it is right though that it would be fitting that when we come to Christmas or we come to someone's birth, we bring gifts. When a child is born, that's what you bring. So I think it's befitting that the wise men just didn't come over there empty-handed. In other words, they brought something to him. Now, even after the birth, in other words, it wasn't on that day. Remember, the wise men came a few days later or a month later or two. It doesn't really matter. It was a period of time afterward. So it's kind of like a belated birthday gift. And you have people who have cards and you go in a store and you have a happy belated birthday gift. And, you know, but the thing is to honor someone when they have a birth, whether it's a week late or months late, is not as important as you bringing something to them. That's the most important thing. Now, The celebration of Christmas, what does it do for us? Well, we can sit down and say, you know, we have gifts, and you know, we show our love and our appreciation for one another, and sometimes we overdo it and sometimes we underdo it, but you know, how many gifts is right, how many gifts is not right, and how much should we spend and all that. The important thing is the love and the care that we have for each other, and the gifts that we give aren't always not necessarily what's underneath the tree, but it's what you bring in your heart. And that we remember at least once a year of coming together. And what better way, I think, to express Christmas time is in gifts. That's how you show someone you love them. It's an expression saying, well, I don't have to give them something to tell them you love them. Well, if you've been married after a number of years and you don't bring your wife an anniversary gift, you will find out, the wife will look at you and say, you really don't love me, or you just think that you can pass this off to me. And you'll sit down, or you'll sit down together and say, you know, this is what we'll do for our anniversary. But you come to an agreement on something that you will do, and that gift to each other, whether it be time or away or something, is what you do, is that's the gift. But the thing is, you always bring something. Whether you bring your wife flowers or the wife does something for the husband, there's always something given there. Okay? Now, you ever thought of the choice gifts that you would get? There's so much out there, and you go down to Walmart and Sam's and all those other places, and you're just befuddled of what you can get. And there's hit and misses. But I think of this, it's a good thing, and all the hit and misses and all the gifts that were given, God didn't miss, and He hit everything perfect. Because He gives us everything perfect, because this is what it's all about. I think, and I do believe, all things that we ever need, we will find in Christ Jesus. Everything that is wrapped up in the tree of life, to which we have the Christmas tree and all the decorations, it represents evergreen, representing Christ and the star over the tree or the angel. It's all about Christmas and Christ and the giving of gifts. And we often look at it as what we give to one another, but it's also important for us to realize what Christ gave to us. Because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I always say this to people, you can't give people what you do not have. In other words, you have to receive from God first in order to give other things. Because truly, if we have love in our hearts and we have the true love of God, we are able to give that love to each other. So turn with me to James, if you have your Bible, to James chapter 1. I'll read this out. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. That's what I like about my God. He is ever so good, ever so kind, and I know that everything He has given is good and is perfect. Now, like I said, when we give to each other, sometimes we often wonder, what were you thinking when you got that? But I think the Lord doesn't miss. He's just so perfect. James 1 and 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, He doesn't say, well, gee, I don't know if I gave you the right thing. He gave us the right thing. And Philippians chapter 4, it says this. We always want to get somebody something that they need. You ever notice that? Or they would really like. Something that is needful for them. And our Lord and our Savior meets all our needs. He gives us everything that we need. Everything we need in Christ Jesus is all there, if we just go there and look for it and get it. But it's there. Philippians 4 verse 19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, I kind of think He's pretty thoughtful. And I think He's pretty great to do everything perfect and everything right so there's no mistakes. Why? Well, I look at it this way. My eternity is based upon what He says and what He does. He's got to have it right. Because if He doesn't have it right, I'm in trouble. Because I know I can't get it right. I might get it right a few times, but I can't get it right all the time. I can go pick my wife a nice gift, and guess what? I'll do it right one year, and next year, I don't know what I did. She's not here, that's why I can say that. But it happens. But here He is, you're trusting with God with everything that you've got. In other words, you're trusting Him with your life and eternity. Now, eternity is somewhere we cannot comprehend nor count, but it's a long time. In other words, there is no time in eternity. It's just forever. And we're trusting our Savior with our lives that He has done everything perfect, and the gift that He gave is perfect. So in other words, it's forever. And that's what we really got to think about. And if He's done that, I think everything He has done for us and everything He is going to give us and meeting all our needs is going to be perfect. So I think it's good that we go to Him and we look to Him. So when we go looking to the Lord, we are always looking for certain things. We look for blessings and gifts. I don't care who you are, whenever you pray, Lord, if you're praying for good weather or you're praying for what, you're always asking the Lord to bless you with something and give you something. It's kind of how you pray is like this. Gimme, 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 and gimme, 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 and gimme, 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 and gimme, 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 and gimme, gimme, gimme. We can make a song. It's the gimme song. But it's true. Every time I pray, if I pray for somebody, I am praying for the Lord to do something for them. I'm asking for a blessing, whether it's for yourself or for others. It is, you pray and you ask that. There's nothing wrong with that. You say, is it wrong for me to pray for myself? No, you'd be an idiot if you didn't. You'd be a fool. If you have needs, why not? If others have needs, why not pray for them? We expect to be blessed for our efforts. In other words, when you go into prayer, there's a reason why you go into prayer. In other words, you need help, you want help, you expect help. That's what I do. When I go and see something or I go somewhere, I expect something to be done. When we give or when we tithe or help others, we expect to be rewarded. Some people say, well, really, I don't really think I should. No, you do. Deep down inside, we all do. When I do something and I think I'm doing something right for Christ, I hope I'm doing something that I'm going to get rewarded in heaven for. I hate to go and do everything I thought down here and find out I get nothing. You know, it's kind of like the short end of the stick. Well, I worked hard and I did all these things. You know what? I didn't get anything. It's kind of like working for somebody for nothing. You ever done that? I've done that. And it's not fun. So you don't want your what? Your labor to be in vain. So, we should expect to be blessed of God for that which we do for Him or ask Him for. We are encouraged to believe Him and receive His blessings and His promises. In other words, we should expect it. If He didn't think so, He would never put it in His word for us. And I think that's important. And sometimes we often don't go to Him for things that we need and I should get. And also, we should get them because He said He would do it for us. And I think sometimes we miss around the areas and we kind of lose sight of what's really important. When you go into prayer, when you talk to the Lord, or you do things for Christ, I expect to be rewarded. The same thing as when I go to work for somebody. I expect to be paid. Now, you're saying, well, that's kind of being selfish. No. What do you do for Christ that you don't not think that you should be rewarded for? When you go into prayer, you ask the Lord and you say to Him, Lord, I need help. You expect Him to do something for your request. You've spent some time with Him. You expect it. Turn me to Psalms 103. I want you to look at this one. I always used to talk about this, and I used to say, people, you know, the song Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Well, it's kind of like an insurance policy. You should read that book and find out everything that is in there, because everything that God says is in there is sure, and everything there is your assurance. So you should not forget the benefit plan. I think it's really important. And often, I said, sometimes I see us, we forget or we miss it or we're not paying attention to it. So Psalms 103, verse 1 to 5 says this, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Why? Well, the verse 3 says this, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I think that's a pretty good reason why. There's a good, beautiful benefit plan. And if God did not want you to get things or expect things from Him, He would never have it in His Word for you to come into prayer and ask. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this. Therefore, chapter 15, verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because your labor is not in vain. What you do for Christ is not in vain. Why? I don't want to go and do something for somebody to find out I don't get it at the end. Because why? Majority of my payday is up there. Now, if we think the blessings and promises that we receive down here is something, wait till you get up there. It's really going to be fantastic. First of all, you've got a nice looking mansion on the hill. I think you do. But I don't care if I got the cottage at the bottom, long as I'm up there. It doesn't matter to me. But he's preparing a place for you. And now just think of it, 2,000 years. If it only took the Lord 6 days to build this one, can you imagine 2,000 years on the next one? But we read the last part of the verse 58, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, what you do for Christ is going to be rewarded. I think that's really important to know. I think it's good to remind ourselves. I think Christmas time is a good time for us to realize what is important. The wise men, when they went to Christ, brought gifts. And they bowed before Him. What do you think they got? Well, when you bring to Christ something, what do you get? Okay, I'll leave it like that for now. Now, I want you to think on this. I do realize it's the birth of our Lord and Savior that we celebrate, and we should be bringing Him gifts that are befitting the occasion to Him whom we honor. It's His birthday. We celebrate it, and we say, well, we do it for one another, and we do that because in the Spirit of Christ, that's what's good. And I say, yes, I agree with you. But it is also something for us to remember. When the wise men brought gifts, and actually I like this song because it touches on certain things, what they brought. The gold for the King of Kings, deity. And also for His ministry and for His family. What do you think kept them all those years? And sustain them. Also, frankincense. Think about it. The perfume and incense for the beauty and the fragrance of life. His life was what? Glorious, and it was special. So also is ours. And it was so full that all that came in contact with His life were forever blessed and changed. See, they brought really nice gifts, if you really look at it, spiritually speaking. Myrrh, the fragrance that was bitter, and it came from plants, represents the death, burial, and resurrection and what Christ would go through for us. These precious spices preserves. Do you not know that you are preserved in Christ Jesus? Kept? Now, I don't know about anybody, but there's certain things you got to do when you want to keep certain foods. You got to preserve them. We use that kind of like symbolically or spiritually speaking. And also death. Do you not know that in death, death smells and stinks? It's not nice. When you come around a dead person, even though you don't smell them, there's a stench of death. That, I don't know how you can explain it, but it's there. And it grabs you, and you say, you just feel terrible. Only in death can God call it a sweet-smelling savor and do something about it. I think that was quite unique. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He's the only one that can produce something good out of death. And I think that's something fantastic, that we have a Savior that is ever so good like that. And when the wise men brought these gifts, they brought the right things. Think about it. If you tell a little child, what will you bring Jesus? They'll probably say, well, cookies, candies, you know, but they're kids. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16 says this, now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifestation the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are that perish. To one we are the savor of death unto death, and the other the savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things? You know that when we are sacrificed and we come to death, we send up a sweet-smelling savor unto God. It's nice. You know, and like I said, when we see it and we look at it, hey, it does not look nice and it does not smell, it does not feel good. But yet within the eyes of God and the nostrils of God, he smells something so beautiful. And those gifts that the wise men brought were all about that. If we look deeper into these gifts, these three gifts, we could see some fantastic truths, but we can't, you know, you don't really want to get too far into that because that's not what it's all about. But it is about gifts. We see how important the gifts are, and they were appropriate for the occasion. Everything was good and needful for everything that Christ was going to do and what he was going to go through and everything that he was going about to do for us. Now, here's something that always comes to the heart of the matter. What gift could you bring that is befitting him whose birth we celebrate and honor? Because if we do not look within our hearts or be invoked by every time that God's word is brought to us, it's kind of like sitting down and just eating honey. Now, you know when you give your kids all that sugar, and if you give them enough of it, what will they do? They will get sick. The children of Israel, when they left Egypt, had to eat bitter herbs. In other words, there's certain things that we have to take and have to learn and understand. In other words, in Christ Jesus, there are things that are going to invoke and come to our lives that we're going to have to make decisions on and what we do for him. And some things are not always pleasant. But that's the life to which Christ has called us to and asked from us. Now, what could we bring to him that would be befitting him? Well, David said it kind of like this. What could he bring the Lord, seeing that all things belong to him and everything comes from him? What do you give a man that has everything? What can you give him that has everything? Pretty hard to buy for somebody like that, isn't it? If you think it's hard to buy for somebody or give somebody a gift that you know says, well, they've got everything and they have everything, just think of your Savior. What can I bring him that he would like? He has everything, and everything belongs to him. If you read in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I want to read a few verses, just so we can touch on these. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12 to 13 says this, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Everything comes from God, and everything we ever offer to God belongs to him. But he still likes us to offer gifts. For this simple reason, the wise men came before him and they offered him something. Have you ever thought what you can offer the Lord at Christmas? It's for some people that never crosses their mind. Sometimes we think what is good is not always acceptable. Cain found this out when he offered what he thought was right, and God rejected it, and he liked Abel's offering, and he accepted it. What was the difference between the two? Cain went to the fruit of the ground, and he tilled, and he brought in his substance, and Abel did sacrifice. You know what the Bible says about one who offers up his works and the other one who offers up his faith in Christ. Well, we know Abel, when he sacrificed the lamb and offered God that sacrifice, it was representing Christ. When Cain went there, he said, this is what I do, and this is the way I go about things, and this is the fruit of my labors. Here you are. And God says, I don't accept that. Not by your works, but by his works. And it's by his faith. Cain was upset. So upset, guess what he did? He killed his brother. Some things are always not acceptable with God. Some things are not appropriate and should not be offered unto the Lord. So, well, what can we give him that is acceptable? Well, David gave us a clue. All things belong of him, and all things come belongs to him, and everything comes from him. But as all things, some people get the Cain attitude and end up in sin for the simple reason. They are offended because they are rejected. You ever see when somebody rejects a gift from you? And you can see it in their eyes? What's the first thought? Think you're so good at it, huh? And then there's a few other thoughts that go along with there, become sin. What you brought to the Lord and what you thought he accepted is rejected, and you become disgruntled. And sometimes you become so disgruntled that you do not walk with God. Do you ever have a prayer not answered? Well, I've heard a lot of stories about people who had prayed and things weren't answered, and they were so upset with God they had nothing to do with them anymore. Especially over a loved one or a friend or whatever. Or in their very... they felt their very deepest need in that hour of time that they figured God should have helped me, and he didn't. Saul? Remember Saul? Good old Saul? He was a prime example of what not to do. Well, in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and a hearken than a fat of rams. I think the greatest thing that we can offer God is obedience to his word. And you want to know something? It's the cheapest gift. Think about it. What's so hard to just go and do something for somebody? If you go and get a gift and you give somebody a gift, yeah, you went downtown and all that, but you know what? If you purchased that gift, you had the work and you had the got that money. There's a lot involved there, bringing a gift to somebody. But we should be like the wise men and bring the right gift for the proper occasion. When we come to him, what would be the right gifts acceptable unto the Lord? Well, you got to ask yourself, what would the Savior like from me? And you know, I know something. We'll throw money at him. We'll throw everything but what he wants. I've seen people go a lot of times, they'll go there And at Christmas time, they'll open up their wallet and they'll dig everything out of their wallet and throw it in there in hopes God will accept it. God don't want your money. Don't care. He's got a lot of it. You never hear that from very many preachers any day anymore. They just want to get every nickel they can, and they try 3 million ways of how to get your money. But that's not God. That's just some character who happens to think that he's doing God a service and that he needs your money to do the service for God. I always said preaching of the gospel does not cost a nickel. If you turn around and tell somebody about Christ, it does not cost money. I think sometimes we lose sight of that. To go and do things and all that, yes, it's important. Yes, you do need finances and stuff like that. But to tell somebody about Christ does not cost a penny to do that. So, what would I first ask myself, what would it do to please my God? Something that is going to please him as a gift. Well, the Bible tells us this. And the Bible gives us great suggestions. I like that. Like Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's what I like about that. You know, if you believe your God, you get rewarded. And if you believe God, God likes that. They say faith moves the hand of God. That's true. If I don't believe my God, nothing will happen. If I don't believe my God, and at Christmas, what do we want to give him? Or any time, we want to give him what? The gift to which he has given us. And that's faith. Why? Because if we believe him, we will do things for him, and we will receive from him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I know if I give to my God will give to me. And that's how it should be. I should expect that. Why? Because he says he will do that. It's not something that you come up with your own mind, but we expect that from him because he says he will do that. He says, when you come into prayer believing, expect to receive. He didn't say, well, I might do something for you. He said, he will do something for you. So your faith should not be in words, only in words, but in deeds. If you read all of Hebrews chapter 11, you find men and women of faith and the things that they did for Christ in faith. James says this in James chapter 2, verse 17, even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, you can't just say, well, I believe God. Your actions should show it by that which you do for him and that which you receive from him. A man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, what I do, I will show you my faith. So, I think this way, faith and obedience to Christ and his word is a gift indeed. If I do what the word says and I believe what the word says and I walk in the word and I live the word, guess what? I'm doing it and that is a gift to God. Believing his word might seem a bit small, but so many have difficulty in doing it. Here's something to contemplate. Matthew 4:4. We should all know this by heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do we do it? Some do, some don't. Some should, some won't. The greatest gift to God is offering his word back to him in the form of doing it. Abel offered unto God a sacrifice. How did he know to sacrifice unto God and that would be acceptable? Cain said, I'm doing it my way. I'll do it what I want to do. The greatest way to always honor God and the gift that you're going to give, find out what the word says and do that. And guarantee you can't mistake. You can't make a mistake. Because why? It's always according to him. This pleases him greatly. And I think every time God is pleased, you get rewarded. You get a treat. And I think sometimes the treats are pretty good. Many of us, our lives to Christ, offered our lives to Christ as a gift. Many of us have made vows and we said unto God, Lord, I will live my life for you if you will do such and such. And sometimes he's done such and such and we have not kept our end of the bargain. When we offer ourselves unto him as a gift, We're not joking. And he doesn't take it lightly. In other words, he likes his gifts, and especially the ones that are pleasing in his sight. So therefore, he says, I'm holding you to it. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why? He gave you the gift of life. And what are we to? We are indebted to him. But seeing it be free, we offer ourselves freely unto him, saying, Lord, now we will live our lives for you. This is acceptable. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice the Apostle Paul is saying that. How do we do that? By living a life for Christ that is befitting him. Remember, all things belong unto him. We are in the hands of God. God's not in our hands. We are on this face of the earth because God gave us life. We are indebted to him. And remember, if you belong to the Lord, you're only given to the Lord what belongs to him anyway. You think about it. I think it's kind of nice. When we offer our children, like you're going to dedicate yours, which is a gift from God. It's true. And like the fellow said, you know what grandchildren are? They're a gift from... What is it? How did that fellow say it at that time? He says, children are a gift from God. And for the grandparents, grandchildren are a gift from God because you didn't kill your children. Something like that. But anyway, I thought it was kind of unique. How many times you want to do something to your kids and you didn't. And look at the grandchildren. But you look at this. Your children, aside from all... kidding around, we offer our children unto the Lord. They are a gift unto God, which God holds very, very dearly to him, and to which we are coming to. I kind of went a long way around about it, but Christmas is about giving gifts and giving to others and others giving to you. And we always say we often forget the giver of all things. And what does he expect from us? No, he don't want your $50 bill. No, he don't want this. He wants what rightfully belongs to him. And he wants your life with him, living a life honoring him and his word, because that's why we've been redeemed. To let the world see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are not our own. No man can say that I am my own man. Even Cain had to answer to God and give answer for what he did. So we think about that. It's really important. Remember what Jesus said about the little children? And I always find this something. Children are important to Christ. And I don't care how unruly they get and how bad they get, bring them to church. Bring them to church. Why? Jesus didn't say, just bring the good ones or bring the ones that will sit down and listen. Bring them all. Because you want to know something? He'll reach out. If he can win a sinner like you and me and get us on our knees and get us straightened out, guess what he'll do for our children? And it's best to get them when they're young. Like an old guy like me was 26 years old when I got saved. And I said, Lord, where were you when I needed you when I was young? He says, I call early, and he says, and I call late. I don't know how it works, but I just know I wasn't about to let my children pass by without coming to know Christ. And you should serve Christ because you've been dedicated to him. And I say that without any reservation. We are indebted to him. And the only thing he wants us to do is obey his word and do what his word says. And it's not hard. What's the greatest commandment? Love one another as ye love me. And everything else falls into place. If you love one another, you will not do ill to each other. You will not steal. You will not murder. You will not kill. If you love one another. And it's very, very simple things. But look at Luke chapter 18. I want to read this one. They brought unto him also infants. I love this. They brought infants, and you read in the other parts of the gospel, they brought unto children. They brought children, they brought infants, they brought those little ones to him. Why? Why was it so important? Luke 18, verse 15, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Nice, good disciples, huh? Get these kids out of the way. They're bothering the move of God. I always get a kick out of people who say that children can't get saved or don't think that children can be saved. When do you get saved? By when you believe. There's no age limit on faith. Not as far as I know. I've never seen it in the Bible where it said, you know, a little wee small one can be saved. Long as they confess Christ as their Savior and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. There's no age limit. I've seen children 2.5 and 3 years old get saved. And I've seen them 80 years old get saved. There's no age limit. But they have to confess. But look at verse 16. But Jesus called them and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall no wise enter therein. You know, that's the hardest thing for us older people to think of, and that's why it's so hard to win old people, for the simple reason. It's too easy. I got to come in like a little child. I just got to believe. You ever ask a child, you want to be saved? Who wants to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand and they're just... Remember that one time we had 8 or 10 kids all lined up. I said, who wants to go to heaven? I didn't see one hand down. Why? Well, it's only understandable. Who wants ice cream? They'll all wave their hand too. It's a great thing. Heaven's a great place. But when we offer our children, we offer ourselves. When we offer unto him and dedicate them and ourselves to him, there is no greater gift that I could think of when you offer yourself or you offer your children. I can't think of any other greater gift than that. Put aside all material things, everything else. What does Christ want from us? You read John 3:16, and it has nothing about money, has nothing about material things. It has one thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what? For eternal life. That whosoever believeth in him. That's what it's all about. Why? Because he gave the gift, and you honor him by presenting unto him the very gift that he gave you. I come here with Christ, my Redeemer, the one that did it for me. And not only that, but you are doing the very same thing as when you offer unto God your child, as the same thing as God offered his child. And you're entrusting him with both. Something that is very dear to us, something that is very dear to you. It's offered unto the Lord, it's honored of God, and he accepts the responsibility and care for what is offered unto him the same way as you trusted him with your life for eternity. It's the same thing that you now expect him to keep your child and to keep you for eternity. Because you want to know something? In life you will find out there are some things that you cannot control. I will grow old and I will die. I can't control it. It'll happen. When? I don't know, but I know it'll come. Nature itself teaches me that. We live and we die. But there is eternity. I believe what the Word of God says. That Christ says that there is a place for us. That we can be redeemed, that we can live in heaven, we can live forever. And I'm holding him to that. It's the same thing as you are going to hold to God that which you trusted in him. No greater gift given to God is the acceptance of the gifts he offers us. Refuse none of them. And I would say, every blessing and every promise that you can find in there, receive them and walk in them and enjoy them. They were all purchased for us at Calvary. And they are important to us. Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8 says this, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. We should not refuse anything. The Bible always, and we always hear people talking about preaching the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says, the fullness of the gospel is everything that is in there for you and for me. We should take everything. And we should be like those little birds chirping when mommy comes home with food. More, 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 more. Yes. You remember the song? More of Jesus I would know. More of his grace to others show. More, more, more about Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. So, I asked this question. What kind of gift did you bring to your Lord and Savior? Did you forget? Wow. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to do anything. And you hear so many people say this over and over again. You know, there's nothing that God would want better than to see you, than to talk to you, for you to believe him, you to live for him. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your materials. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want that. He wants you. Just think about that. So as you present yourself before him, as you bow before him, what gift will you lay at his feet? What do you bring unto him who has everything? You might never have to come to him ever again the rest of your days. And he's never forgotten the promise he made to you. Somebody said something to me yesterday, caught me off guard. And he said to me, and said this in a question, and I thought about this, and it hit me this morning. I'll see if I get this right. If God is God, can he create a rock so big that he could not move it? And if he cannot move it, how can he be God? Is that how I said it? This is the answer to it. And believe me, I couldn't come up with this if I had a million years. God has done it. God in his word has made promise with his word in which he cannot move nor break to you. He says, my word has gone forth unto you, and the promise that I made unto you is yours. And no man, nobody, not even I myself, because he says, I put my word above my name, I cannot break it. And he is still God. What a wonderful thing. That's the Savior that we've got. I don't know if that answers the question, but I thought that was great. And I thought about that, and it's so true. Can God do something and not be able to move it? Yes, he did it with his word. His word is like a rock. He put it, he said it, and made promise with it. Who can break it? Not even he himself. And yet he is still God. I thought that was something else. That's the Savior we have. That's the God to whom we serve. That's the God to whom we entrust. That's the God to whom you entrust your children to. That's the God to whom I trusted my children. That's the God to whom you trusted your children to. I think he's in pretty good hands. I think they're all in pretty good hands. Because no matter whatever comes of it, no matter wherever we go in life, no matter if we ever see each other ever again, guess what? We're his. And I like the promise. I will never leave thee, nor will I ever forsake thee, saith the Lord. Not my promise, not anybody else's, but his. And he says, and all that cometh unto me, he says, I will no wise cast out. I think that's wonderful. So, bring something good to him and never forget what to bring him every year. Because every year you can come up with something. What contribution do you bring to the building and the blessing of the kingdom of God to which we are a part of? There's a multitude of things. And that's what we should really think about. Wise men bring gifts, only a fool wouldn't. Amen. So, that's it on that. Now we're going to go to the dedication of children in the Lord.